Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. However you're accessing it today, thank you very much for listening. Got a great episode for you today. We have Jake Duhame as our guest. He is a marketing manager at Thuzio, which is an online platform that connects the public with professional athletes, both former and current, and basically allows them to pay for experiences, whether it's dinner with an athlete or playing catch or seeing a movie, having a conversation, having a phone conversation. There's any number of things. It's really cool. We talk about building off the fan desire for unique experiences and how much the emotional attachment between the public and the athletes, and really across the board, a very unique range of athletes, really resonates and is something for sports marketers to pay attention to. But before we talk to Jake, we have this episode's helpful tool. This episode's helpful tool is Keyhole. It is a freemium tool. It's an online tool. Just go to keyhole.com, and it is basically a way to discover a lot about hashtags. Your brand might have a hashtag. Your team might have various hashtags, and you can really get deeply into everything behind them. Just a quick little bullet list of everything Keyhole gives you about a given hashtag when you type it in. You get usage by both volume and as well as medium, and you also get the users of a given hashtag as well. You can identify which users are most influential. It also identifies what time of day and which day of the week users are posting the most, especially helpful on non-game days to see when your fans are talking about you, besides during the game on game days. You can see it identifies by different social network, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You get some basic demographics and sex ratios. You can also see mobile versus desktop. And even cooler, you get a word cloud and a hashtag cloud to see what else these users who are using your hashtag are talking about. Very interesting to see where that where else they're looking at, what else they're interested in, what else they're tweeting about, to look for some possible synergies and insights there. But overall, you get a lot of great information, all for free. Of course, like I said, there is a little more stuff with a premium option, but really cool way to see who's talking about you, when, how they're doing it, and which fans who are using your hashtag can be potential influencers that you may want to get in touch with. So check it out, Keyhole. Type in a hashtag that your brand promotes or something you're following, and learn something about it. Learn something about those users who are utilizing that hashtag. Really cool stuff. Give it a go. Keyhole. And that's this episode's helpful tool. We'll be right back with Jake Duhame of Thuzio. All right, that was this episode's helpful tool. It's called Keyhole. Go ahead and check it out for free at keyhole.co. Great way to look at how users are using your hashtags or hashtags around your brand or product, and just get a deeper look into who's using it, who influential is using it, where they're using it, etc. And someone who may be checking up on hashtags or God knows what else with how much stuff he has going on is our guest today, Jake Duhame, and he's a marketing manager at Thuzio, who spent a lot of time in professional sports as well, and really is a great resource in all things sports and social media, marketing, and we are delighted to have Jake on the podcast today. Welcome to the podcast, Jake.
Thank you, Neil. Appreciate the invite.
So do you guys do any hashtag tracking at Thuzio, or do you have any cool tools that you guys like to utilize, like a Keyhole?
We are about to utilize Rebel Mouse on our site as a way of really bringing all of our social platforms together in a more visually appealing way, especially because there's so much we can do in the social space with the way we activate athletes on there. To have that top of mind on our website, which is very much a platform at this time, that's going to be a huge addition for us.
Oh, very cool. And you talk especially Rebel Mouse is a very big up-and-comer, and the aesthetic side of it is very big as well, especially with what Thuzio is doing a little bit with having athletes go out to events as well. But we have a lot to talk about today with Jake. He's going to tell us a lot about Thuzio, which is doing some big things in the space
of connecting athletes with individuals and really enlivening big events for sports fans. But before we get into the meat of our interview today, we always like to get to know our guests. Jake has a really cool background. I got to know him a little bit when he was working with the Detroit Red Wings, doing big things there. And Jake, just go on and give us a little bit of an idea about your career path and any tips you have to share for people who want to follow it.
Well, I majored in journalism at the newly named Ron Burgundy School of Communications. That would be Emerson College. I was on the reporting end for a couple years, and I latched on with Stratton Mountain Resort and then the Red Wings and now Thuzio. You know, I covered the 08, 09, 2010 Stanley Cup Finals for a site called Inside Hockey, which was great because they had a partnership with FoxSports.com, which allowed me to get my name out there. And I also got a chance to cover the Vancouver 2010 Olympics for them. And then I also interned with the Boston Marathon, where I helped them launch a lot of their social initiatives. Very, very traditional organization, very rooted in you know, it's the oldest road race in North America. So it's very tough to bring change into more traditional organizations. So I got them off the ground there. And I also interned with U.S. Figure Skating. That was in 2005. So looking forward to seeing some figure skating in the next Winter Olympics and the old Comcast network, where I got to cover the 16-0 New England Patriots for them. So I've always been around it, always been around the marketing sponsorship side, but my focus has always been journalism. So the ability to merge them together has been a major asset.
Tell me a little about how you said you started off with Inside Hockey, doing a lot of reporting there, and then sort of pivoted your way to the figure skating opportunities as well. How did you sort of get your foot in the door there? It was just a matter of keeping your eyes open and applying for positions or getting to know people along the way?
Figure skating came before hockey, and that was between sophomore and junior year, and I was pretty much hell-bent on doing the United States Olympic Committee's internship program. So I applied for their fall semester knowing my odds would be a little bit better, and I got teamed up with a woman named Lindsay Hogan and Laura Fawcett, who I still keep in contact with and in touch with. And they were my guides and my muses for the world of figure skating. And what's ironic now is that now we have Sasha Cohen and Tara Lipinski on Thuzio. And whenever we do something with Sasha, who's in the city, I don't even think my colleagues are aware that I interned for U.S. Figure Skating and had worked with Sasha on one or two things, you know, 10 years ago. But it is funny because I do have that interest going forward. And really, with hockey, with Inside Hockey, it was a chance thing with a web publication right after the NHL lockout, when the league was far more receptive to online and new forms of media than it was than ever before. And that allowed me to get into a press box and cover professional teams before I graduated from college.
And for our listeners, this is lockout number one. This is not the most recent lockout.
Lockout number one. So, you know, even junior and senior year of college, there's you and Sidney Crosby doing an interview with Sidney Crosby, or Milan Lucic, or Zdeno Chara, or the coach of these various teams. And that's a huge opportunity in terms of making contacts, building credibility, and ultimately dealing with athletes in a professional manner.
Wow, really cool to be able to have that on your resume, on a byline as a student in college still. So how did you sort of then pivot your way to the Red Wings from your hockey and figure skating experience writing?
Well, with the Red Wings, it was due to being out there in 08 and 09. So when I got to know some of the people out there, one of them was Christy Hammond, who works in their community relations department. And she was an intern at the time. And I was continuing to figure out, try and wonder why this girl was there who was just as young as me, because I took pride in being the youngest person to cover the 2008 and 2009 Stanley Cup Final. Or being one of the babies of the group there with the likes of Darren Drager and Bob McKenzie and, you know, all the greats, Don Cherry. So I was curious as to who the girl, you know, who this young girl was who was about my age. So I befriended her. We became fast friends and we kept in touch. So when that opportunity came up, I was in communication with her about it. And then when I came in for the interview, you know, I slipped her a pair of those Vancouver 2010 gloves, the mittens, and had a great interview with my boss at the time, Rob Mantina, who was a Bostonian like myself, who And it's a funny story about that interview because he goes in and he tries to play the role of not being from Boston and actually ragged on Boston for the first half of the interview, knowing I was from Boston. And then he, you know, he totally does a 180 and goes, yeah, I went to Northeastern. I was just, you know, screwing around with you the whole time. And that's when I knew I had that job because I don't think he would have done that if he was going to hire me. But that's how I ended up out there, and I stayed there for 2 years. And then, you know, then the lockout came. And I think the thing about being so connected with the reporting side of the sport is I had a fair assessment of how bad it was going to be, mm-hmm. and made my move accordingly before that happened, knowing, you know, I knew they were going to lose the Winter Classic. I knew they were going to lose games. I knew it wasn't going to be a lot of fun, and I was going to be on the front lines of that. And that made a difficult decision pretty easy.
Definitely. And to tell him briefly then a little bit about how that journalism background really helped you succeed with Detroit, and also really how you really expanded your horizons there too, and going from beyond just I'm a journalist covering the helping to cover the team and create content to this is content that's also driving business results. Is that sort of a light bulb that went off for you with Detroit?
It went off before I got there. When I was in my meetings before going out there, that I expressed that was the goal. The goal is to create revenue from social by integrating it into, you know, certain partnerships with on the team level. The one benefit I had is from day one, I knew I had to go into the locker room and get what I need from our players. And I was very good at doing that. Then what happened is I befriended a lot of our sales staff, our corporate sales staff, and started to teach them about the way social could make them money. And it's interesting because you work with the sales guys and they figure out new avenues to make money and they get the commission on top of that. I turned out to be a lot of their best friends. You know, you turned out to be their biffs. And I was always very aggressive with it too. I think a lot of people go into the social space and think, oh, we have to be organic. We can't be promotional, yada, yada, yada. I had the most important thing, which was access and news. We were going to break trades, we were going to break, you know, transactions, we were going to break signings, we were going to have exclusive news that fans tune into, to the point where I can dangle sponsorships in the middle of there.
Content all of a sudden became an asset, viewing content as an asset that has value.
Exactly, and the difference between you and the Detroit Free Press is that the Free Press has journalism ethics that they have to uphold that prevents them from doing that. We don't. You know, we are the in-house organ, but at the same time, our news function of the in-house organ can be profitable. And I think a lot of teams are missing out on that. I think some have done it, some have dipped their toes into it. But I think for the most part, you have a product that's on TV 80 times during the course of 6 months, and you have that natural audience looking to connect during games. There's so much of an opportunity there for fans that really hasn't been taken advantage of. And I look at something like what we did with Amway. We had a fan of the day that we did with Amway that generated, it was every single day on social media, it was user-generated content. It generated 36 million impressions for Amway during that year. I mean, that's a dumbfounding number that's hard to get in a lot of places, but here, you know, all of a sudden you're bringing it to your corporate partner, and, you know, they're very, very impressed with the power of what you're doing, especially if their social audience is, you know, under 100,000, under 10,000. You know, if it's a smaller audience, they're just dumbfounded by that number and that exposure.
Oh, that's incredible. And you obviously the Detroit Red Wings continue to do a lot of really impressive things with, that you helped start there. And one thing too I want to touch on with your time with the Red Wings is, did you feel like you had a little more leeway to think outside the box, to think about those kind of revenue streams because the Red Wings were so popular, and then selling out the Joe was not as difficult as it may be to sell out as a game in Florida, for example?
I think that was part of it. It's such a very strong hockey community. I think the leeway happened because they jumped into a position where there was not much expectation other than to tweet about the team. And I think that that's where those positions get created. They get created in a sense where your one job is to just update the Twitter and Facebook accounts. It's so much more than that. And when you throw revenue behind it and you throw opportunities to engage corporate clients behind it, and this is what I'm seeing on the brand level, Samsung spent $100 million last year in Q4 on Facebook ads alone. You know, these are companies who are willing to spend money to engage in the social space because they know that's where conversations about their brands are taking place. Here you have this natural built-in audience which doesn't create the urgency amongst teams to really activate there as strongly. You know, if you're a team, you're on TV, you know, you think that's your big source of medium, you know, your big source of where people find out about you. Mm-hmm. But you know as well as I do, you sit there on trade on July 1st or on trade deadline day, and you're addicted to Twitter. You're trying to keep up with what all these guys are saying, with what all the rumors are, with what all the news is. Mm-hmm. And then you realize you have this great community of fans that you're connecting with on air. And those are people who actually use it as opposed to just casual bystanders. So, you know, you're seeing this evolution of what these platforms have become, and that was part of where that leeway was created. It was something where they didn't expect much out of me when the position was created. They were just hoping, you know, someone would maintain this growing audience. And then once we started to really drive revenue from it, I had a lot of leeway. I had a lot of leeway to travel, to do certain things. I had a lot of leeway to push a lot of buttons. Really as many as I could push in a very traditional organization. And I think that over time, you know, once the sales focus shifted to social, could be a moneymaker, that's where my job got a whole lot easier.
Ah, what an awesome outlook, too. And I think a lot of our listeners who want to work in the sports business can really take a lot from that. And before we move on to your career at Thuzio and what you guys are doing there, which is really cool, what are some lasting tips really you can leave for aspiring sports business professionals that sound like you embraced yourself when you were coming up through all these positions?
The light bulb goes off when you start talking about what your role can be for someone as opposed to your past accomplishments. Your past accomplishments, especially now, there are so many kids graduating college who have done, you know, 4 years at the newspaper, or they've worked at the TV station, or they've done 3 or 4 internships. But it's usually the person that tells you what they bring to the table to get hired. And, you know, changing that approach up, that was huge for me landing in Detroit. That was huge for me landing at Thuzio. You know, coming in with a game plan of what we were going to do and how we were going to do it. You know, be the solution. Don't be, you know, don't just go parading your past accomplishments. Be the solution for a problem.
Oh, I love that. Hope everyone listening takes that to heart and inspires you to do big things every day. Be the solution and come with ideas and come ready to execute. And Jake has done a great job of doing that throughout his career. And tell me a little about how you came to Thuzio then, coming off of Detroit and also spending some time working with other brands along the way as a marketing professional, and a little bit about Thuzio itself and what the company is.
So Thuzio is an online platform that connects fans and athletes for, you know, unique experiences. When I explain it to... And this is funny because we had the conversation not too long ago of how you would explain Thuzio to your parents. When I explain it to my parents, I go, you know, what does Expedia do for you in flights? You know, how do you book a flight on an Expedia? We kind of do the same thing for athletes. We're a platform that connects fans and athletes, but really we have so many athletes, 1,500 total, and we're hoping to grow by 10,000 in the very near future, where you type in your team, you type in your event, you type in, you know, a first name, and all of a sudden 50 results pop up. And it's, what can you do with those kind of athletes? And I think that's really the power of Thuzio is it's such a growing talent base. Our talent team does a tremendous job of adding guys each week. You know, that's really the power of having the talent base. And really what happens next is up to you. You could play flag football with Tiki Barber. You can watch the Super Bowl with Joe Andrews of the Patriots, you know, former Patriot. I mean, you can literally walk into Staples Center with Michael Cooper. I mean, how cool is that? You know, you're at Staples Center, and now you're someone because you have Michael Cooper with you. So our motto is anything is possible because anything really is possible. And we have the athletes that make it happen.
So a lot of these are obviously fairly premium experiences. What kind of fans is Thuzio talking to and looking for? Is it the people who are already season ticket holders who are looking to have the money to spend on an additional experience? Is it kids who are going to beg mom and dad for the birthday present to meet their favorite athlete? Or is it people who are just, you know, older retirees who want to reconnect and meet up with their sports heroes?
It's everyone, Neil, and that's the beauty of it, because you have so many different athletes. You hit so many different bases. I mean, you talk about season ticket holders. You know, your season ticket holders know and have watched the team for many, many years. So a lot of these athletes, especially locally, resonate big time with them, where they might not for a more casual observer. So in Boston, I think we're about to bring Ellis Burks on the site. Ellis Burks was one of my friend's favorite players growing up. So to him, having that player on the site is very, very exciting. Whereas for someone who, you know, may not know who Ellis Burks is, they kind of go and they say, well, I'd rather hang out with, you know, Curt Schilling instead. So you have that type of, you know, that type of mentality that exists with people who go to our site, where you're going to have someone for everyone. From a, I mean, mom's perspective, with the holidays coming up, we have, you know, personal training sessions with people who have won Olympic gold medals.
Wow.
For slightly more expensive than what a personal trainer would run. I mean, you could swim with Janet Evans in the pool for $300 an hour. That's ridiculous when you consider what Janet Evans has accomplished throughout her career. You know, so those are the type of experiences that, you know, get you outside of, you know, watching a game and actually participating with someone. And then from a corporate angle, you know, we have the Super Bowl here in New York City. You're going to see a lot of, you know, Super Bowl heroes like Montana's and Namath's and, you know, a lot of guys who may not even be on the site, but because we have that talent resource database, because we're in contact with these people, you know, we realize we can make this happen for people due to our connections in the industry. So a lot of people will file a custom request on our site and they say, I want to hang out with, you know, Joe Montana and Joe Namath for my corporate event right before the Super Bowl. And we'll go and we'll hunt the, you know, we'll hunt them down and we'll try and make it happen. And if we don't on that, we may suggest, you know, Franco Harris. So, you know, part of our job is that of the experience maker, and we can make different types of experiences happen. Regardless of budget, regardless of favorite sport, you know, now we're starting to dabble into Broadway. We've gotten a few 1990s actress requests in, you know, the Saved by the Bell types, the 90210 types, where, I mean, it has me giddy for that potential expansion, if it ever, you know, if it happens. But we're experience makers. And, you know, everyone has a different experience and a different definition of a successful experience. And our job is to work with you to make it happen.
Oh, I imagine that inbox with open-ended requests is probably quite fun to peruse when you're bored.
they are fun. One of my favorites was with Gabby Douglas. We went and we chased her. You know, we had an event with her. It was a personal meet and greet right before the U.S. Gymnastics Championships in Hartford. And the girl was, you know, 9 or 10 years old, and she wanted to be the next Gabby Douglas. So when Gabby walks into the room with her family, you know, the jaw drops. And the mom was giddy because, you know, her girl is as happy as can be, and she's got 18 different things that got signed, and Gabby thought she was adorable. And you realize she's not going to forget that moment for the rest of her life. And I don't think many things, you know, we live day to day, but we don't have a lot of those moments. You know, we may have 6 or 7 a year where it's just unforgettable. This was the best thing that happened to me this week or this month. And we can do that every single day, and that's certainly unique.
That's so cool, and it obviously too goes without saying that social media can not only preserve those kinds of feelings, but amplify them to the nth degree. I wanted to ask real briefly about, we talk about Thuzio really helping to make dreams come alive, about someone being able to search or request such an incredible experience. And what was the solution, or was there really nothing out there before Thuzio existed? Did people just have to... I guess they just never even considered the idea of swimming with Janet Evans to be even a remote possibility, or was there another way to go about it before this?
Well, that's sort of the story. I think every startup has a story, and with our co-founder, Tiki Barber, that was his story. You know, he saw the demand for these type of appearances and these type of experiences, but he didn't see a platform that had existed in the space before. What you used to do and what you can still do is, if you have certain athletes, you can reach out to their agent or their marketing firm and try and set it up that way. So the whole concept of Thuzio started because our co-founder, Tiki Barber, who was the Giants' all-time leading rusher, saw a need in the space. We saw a lot. He saw a lot of demand for these type of appearances, but he saw no one-stop platform to pull it off. You know, in the past, you'd have to go to an agent or you'd have to go to their marketing firm. And let's say you wanted to activate 3 or 4 guys at once, you could be going to 3 or 4 different agents or 3 or 4 different marketing firms. And that's a lot of logistics you have to deal with. So, you know, we're that central nervous system in a sense, where you could go to us, we'll deal with those 3 or 4, you know, marketing agents, PR agents, you know, natural agents. You know, we'll go to them and we'll figure out what the pricing is, how logistics will work. You know, that's the beauty of what we do on a corporate sense, where, again, if you want 2 or 3 big names, We'll go out to those names. We'll figure out how can we logistically get it done. How can we meet you in the middle? And that's really where this idea came from. It was an idea to bring everything together to create some sort of transparency in pricing, so consumers know, you know, about how much they're going to spend or where said athlete is. And, you know, the next thing you need is the cooperation of your talent. And our talent is fantastic in terms of wanting to be on the site and promote themselves and really promote that this is the place where they can be booked for personal appearances. You know, if you want to go to an older athlete who may not have an agent, you're searching for their contact information. So, you know, there's a lot of logistics that goes into play, and there's money on the table for a lot of these former athletes. And this is a way to bring them all together.
Very cool. And was it more about seeing a gap in the space for being able to connect fans with athletes by playing that middleman, or is it also finding athletes who may not be of the stature of a Tiki Barber and have that sort of right off the bat name recognition with everyone around the world or around the country, and realizing that even Terry Lipinski obviously still has a really strong brand name, or you know, going even to more niche sports, or and helping athletes really realize the inherent value of their brand. I mean, maybe it's some combination thereof.
There's a way to think about it, which we like to talk about. If you look at Russell Wilson and you want to do an event with Russell Wilson, because he's basically going to be an all-pro, he's an active player, his schedule is going to be limited because of so, he can only take so many opportunities throughout the year. And because of his status and how much people talk about him, his price point is going to be a lot higher than some of the, you know, than someone who's retired or someone who may be of lesser note in that market. We're firm believers that you can activate 5 to 10 athletes for that same price it would cost to activate one Russell Wilson, and get better bang for your buck. You know, get better bang for your business buck. So you may not be able to activate Russell Wilson in Seattle, but you can activate 5 to 10 players on the Mariners, lesser, you know, smaller names on the Seahawks, guys who went to Washington, you know, guys who play minor league baseball with Tacoma. You can activate a bunch of those guys for the same price it would cost to activate Russell Wilson for one event, and you could build up something that is more sustainable, short, medium, and long term because of it, and because you're activating in numbers. So there is a power in number principle that exists, where yeah, major brands will love to work with bigger athletes because they have that name notoriety. But if you have a smaller business looking to make an impact, we can deliver 6 or 7 athletes for that kind of price, and between social appearances, you know, anything digital they wanted to do, their reach could be far greater in the long run. And it, you know, you could actually saturate the market. I was doing the numbers this morning. You know, for the cost of one tweet by Shaquille O'Neal, I probably could bring 10, 20 members of the U.S. women's hockey team to talk about a specific product. And all of a sudden, you know, you're here as a sports fan and you see 10 different people talking about the same thing. You're naturally more curious than if you see one Shaquille O'Neal tweet that, you know how tweets work as much as I do. 10% of people will see any given tweet.
Mm-hmm. Is that a potential future play for Thuzio, is to go beyond the connecting fans with experiences and also connecting athletes with brands as well? So you might be able to deliver, you know, 5, 6 Seattle Mariners to a given brand, or even a Shaq to a given brand that might not want to go through their agent? Or is that more the traditional route still?
I think you're seeing more and more of it, and it's not as much. It's more the logistics. It's not, you know, it has nothing to do with agents as much as it is for logistics of going through multiples and the time and the effort you spend on that. You know, ultimately, if you want someone there and you have money to make it happen, it's going to happen. Nothing's going to really stop you. But if you're trying to deal with 9 or 10 different people, it's nice to have a central nervous system of sort to go and get those and organize it and set it up. We did something with the Basketball Hall of Fame last summer where we delivered 5 or 6 different players, ranging from Antoine Walker to Larry Johnson. And it's one guy. You know, you're one guy dealing with one guy, you know, one person on our end. So, you know, you've got that business relationship instead of having that one guy trying to figure out how to get 6 different guys there through 6 or 7 different people. So there's an efficiency Efficiency definitely works well for what Thuzio does in this market. You know, it's efficiency, it's relationships, and with brands, that's key, because it's not always about money. It's really about, you know, creating that lasting relationship. What athlete works for what brand, and you know, when you have so many, you can certainly suggest why certain athletes would work better than others. So, you know, we'll go to athletes with different opportunities that they may not be expecting. And all of a sudden, it's an opportunity for them that they didn't have before without really having to look for it.
Very true. And I think it's really cool to see Thuzio get into this interesting space thing across sports where we're delivering fan experiences. And they're really hard to put a price on. And Thuzio helps you put a price on it, because now you can actually see transparency. This is the actual price of an appearance with this athlete, or hanging out with this athlete, or a speaking engagement. And I think that's probably a big part of it. Some of these are really high cost. Some of these are lower cost. There's a pretty good range across the board, depending on, like you said, the demand and what kind of a event they're being used for. But is there a similarity with, say, season ticket sales or a suite sale or something like that, where it's a longer sales process, where you're not just going to get someone to drop $10,000 on an appearance when they first visit your website? Is it something about showing that sports fan value over time and helping them prove the ROI if it is for a business case?
We have thought and we have done something with a season pass that is aimed at the corporate client. It is basically an amount that can be drawn from throughout the year that can be used to book different athletes. And there is a video message component in there. You know, we do offer $99 personal video messages, which is a great consumer play, but it also plays into our corporate strategy. You know, really the season pass is designed to help someone who may be doing a golf tournament 6 months from now and may have another charity event 8 months from now and may be doing a corporate function 10 months from now. But a lot can change during that time, and they don't know specifically who they'd like for talent. They don't like to decide right now. So it's a perfect excuse for someone who may know that there are three or four long-term things in the hopper, but at the same time, they may not be ready to book a specific athlete yet. So, you know, that's where that kind of subscription comes in. And again, this is something we've introduced very recently. So like everything else in a startup, you know, it will evolve and we'll take on new variations and new patterns as needs are assessed and as things evolve. And, but our corporate interest has definitely become very relevant to the future of the company. And we're seeing a lot of companies trying to do unique things through athlete activation. And we're just one medium to pull that off.
Very cool. And I think everyone's definitely chasing B2B plays in the sports space. There's a ton of interest there and obviously money to be spent. But before we move on in the podcast to our shareable stat and our jabber with Jake, I did want to touch on as well, you started going on that direction of the lower end versus the higher end and the range across the board of price points. And I know we've seen some sort of digital fan experiences start to enter the marketplace. You have Coach Barry Switzer, former college football coach and NFL coach, sort of launching his Coach's Cabana to watch your game while doing a hangout or a digital hangout experience with a former coach or former player or whatever the case may be. Is there something along those lines where you might pay to have a virtual conversation with an athlete or, you know, a virtual session with someone to pick their brain? Is that a next phase of that, or is that not where you guys want to live at that lower price point?
I think we introduced our personalized video messages last summer with that in mind. They're recorded messages where you write the script, you pick the athlete, and you know the 650 characters that you write, the athlete will record for you. And we designed a special app for athletes to do that. That's been a good foray for us into that lower price point, and it gets the athletes involved. It gets a lot of athletes involved for the first time with our brand, and to really see how it works and how efficiently it is for them to do something like that and then get paid a couple of days later. So there is that type of thing already that exists. I'm interested to see going forward where that might be. I think a lot of our great, business to consumer plays are with coaching sessions. You know, Jamal Anderson will do a coaching session in Atlanta for $200. That's wow. The guy who, you know, that's, as far as I'm concerned with him, Dirty Bird and Super Bowl 33 against the Broncos, you know, the year that they went to the Super Bowl was all about him. You know, Sasha Cohen's a little bit more expensive, you know, $1,250. But if you've got an aspiring figure skater and you know how important it is to her, Sasha's great to work with. You know, so we have a lot of different athletes who do coaching sessions at relatively inexpensive prices. And it's interesting because a lot of our athletes do set the pricing, and Tiki, being the co-founder, was head guinea pig for the process of trying to figure out where supply and demand was on his own experiences. And he realized he went on a lot of different lunches at a lot of different price points and figured out that 500 was the one that made the most sense for him and made the most sense for him getting booked. So again, it you do see different variations. The athletes do set their price, except for the video messages, which we've had set at $99. And you know, for some athletes, it's been great because they love doing these things, and it's they're relatively easy. They're a lot of fun to do. And then for some would rather only do a corporate appearance. You know, it varies. It varies across the board, and that's what happens when you have that talent there.
Hey, if someone could pay me to record fan messages all day, give me a phone and a comfortable chair, and I'm sold.
we could talk about this and that offline.
Oh gosh,
I have a feeling he'd be very good at it.
As long as you have the bleep ready, you know.
Yep.
One thing I wanted to ask you about before we move on to the podcast is the future of the space and really the huge opportunity there could be for not just delivering more and more experiences to more and more people across the range of difficulty, complexity, price, and all that, but the data and what you learn about fans as they book athletes. If someone books a Tiki Barber, then I'm sure if you are, you know, a starter or a new era, you might want to offer that fan a 25% off a Tiki Barber jersey or whatever the case may be. And thinking about extending it along those lines, is that something that's in the future for Thuzio, or you're not quite there yet?
Yeah, the great thing about it is that the future is rather limitless in terms of those type of possibilities. We're a small team of, you know, 10 to 15 and still growing. So, you know, I think you have to keep that in mind when you're thinking about how depthual you can go with this. Again, the possibilities are limitless. I mean, you brought up a great idea I didn't even think of. You know, you could have a starter or a Mitchell and Ness offering vintage jerseys to someone who booked a specific experience, and you could go and trade, you know, email databases with them. But again, you know, you have so many bodies right now, and, you know, we're doing the best we can with all the resources we have, and we're growing, which is the best thing. You know, we're growing. You know, everyone... We have a very, very positive success rate in terms of people who are thrilled with their experiences so far. And we're just continuing to build. And I think that will, everything like that will come over time.
Very nice. Do you guys get support from teams when you guys are activating with active players? Are the Seahawks, for example, are they supportive of a Russell Wilson working with Thuzio? Or would they rather everything be done in-house? If you're going to do an appearance, do it for our team.
Well, we recently worked with the Pirates on a Clint Hurdle media tour, and they were tremendously helpful in making that happen and introducing us to contacts and making it happen. You know, that will be something, a bridge we cross to as we go forward. I think one of the issues that you have with working with the teams is that we are a competition in a sense, where if you have an active player and, you know, if that active player gets a deal, you know, gets an opportunity from, you know, your quick service retailer that is not the official sponsor, yeah, the team's not going to support that and go against their pre-existing sponsor. It's a great opportunity for the athlete because it's a great opportunity for, you know, the quick service retailer to leverage an athlete in that market. You know, if McDonald's wants X athlete and the team sponsor is Burger King, it's great for the athlete because they're getting a little bit more money, but the team's not exactly going to go against their sponsor that pays them six figures for one deal.
Certainly makes sense. Very interesting. Well, before I wanted to ask you a little bit about, you know, working with Tiki Barber and all that. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit later. But we have to move on to this episode's charitable stat, and we'll also be right back with Jake for what we're calling our Jabber with Jake today. What'll be some fun, quick-hitting questions. We'll be right back.
Tons of fun talking to Jake Duhame of Thuzio. Could really listen to some of those stories about fan experiences, fan requests just all day. We'll be right back with Jake with some quick hitting questions, and we'll hear some of those stories. Trust me, you want to stick around for that. It's pretty fun. You also learn a little more about his strategy at Thuzio. But before we get to that with Jake, we have this episode's shareable stat. And this shareable stat, which you can go ahead and tell all your friends, is that there is a 98% open rate on SMS text messages. And just an incredible thing with that, 98%. And that's taking into account all text messages, which of course includes promotional ones and ones that come from brands. You see a lot of people are getting into text clubs. They'll do text to win, text to screen. But it seems to be falling by the wayside a little bit with the growth of Wi-Fi. It's more about let's connect with email, with social networks, which is also very important as well. But a lot of people with smartphones or with phones that don't have smartphones still have SMS, still are familiar with it, still are comfortable with it, and clearly are opening it, whether that is an offer, a message, from a friend, from a family member, from a business. These text messages are being opened, and it's potentially a potential missed opportunity for sports teams out there who aren't fully utilizing text databases, especially as there's growth of DAS, distributed antenna systems, and venues, along with Wi-Fi and data becoming increasingly available, both with unlimited plans and the penetration of data not crashing the systems and venues. There's a great opportunity to activate with an SMS program with either a sponsor or in-house right there in the arena, in the stadium. You can also obviously solicit text message clubs through email and other routes. It's a very strong opportunity with such a high open rate, and start tracking those conversion rates. Try a promotional code, try a coupon, try a photo. There's any number of things you can do with SMS messaging. And with 98% open rate, it's an interesting path to try. All right, that's this episode's shareable stat. 98% of text messages are opened on average. We'll be right back with some fun, quick-hitting questions with Jake Duhame.
All right, that was this episode's shareable stat. Really interesting one, especially as we approach the meat of the holiday season, is that there's a 98% open rate on SMS messages. That includes messages from sponsors and brands. So if you're trying to reach fans and get an offer in front of them, especially people who aren't really adept with using newer technologies or may not know how to download a mobile app, they know how to receive a text. And if they get an offer via SMS, there's a 98% chance they're going to open it. So pretty cool. Is that number surprise you, Jake, or is that about where you'd expect the SMS to be? Is that high?
I'd expect it to be that high, but the offer better not suck if I've allowed you intrusive nature to access, you know, really get at me by text. So your offer better be of value.
Yeah, you see a lot of teams these days are starting to really try to utilize those SMS databases, but like
some of them have gotten sued over them, which is the interest. I think the Bills got sued. One of the teams got sued over, you know, contacting someone four times in a week.
Oh God.
So again, you've got to watch out there. It's extremely powerful.
Something very close to watch out for. But let's have some fun now, Jake. You've made it through your meaty part of the interview, and now we're going to play what we're calling Jabber with Jake, some fun, quick-hitting questions. So, Jake, a marketing manager at Thuzio, are you ready to jabber with Jake?
Let's do it.
All right. Number one, and this is a fun one, the coolest athlete you've met in person and or corresponded with during your time at Thuzio or during your career in sports?
I would go during my career in sports when they opened the rink at Fenway Park prior to the 2010 Winter Classic. Got to skate with Bobby Orr on that rink. Bobby Orr, Ray Bourque, Cam Neely. It was very much a pinch me moment.
Oh wow, no big deal. You know, just one of the greatest defensemen of all time. And I'm sure you're anyone on Enthusio and beyond who's a Bruins fan is just probably drooling over that opportunity.
Trust me, I've showed the video many, many times of me and a flip camera talking to Bob Uecker, just like at a loss for words. Like, this is pretty cool, huh? He's like, yeah. And I'm like trying to skate next to him, and I have the photos of everything. It was an awesome morning.
Oh wow, what a memory. All right, number two for you, Jake. And this is an interesting one. There's a ton of athletes on Thuzio, and I encourage fans, just if whether they're interested or not, to peruse the website, check out some of the names that are on there, and this question might speak to that. So number two is, among the most popular athletes on Thuzio that may surprise our listeners is who?
I would say John Rocker. And this goes to what we do on a hyper-local level. If you have someone in Nebraska who comes to the site, there are University of Nebraska stars on there. If you have someone in Washington, there are Seattle Mariners on there. If you have someone in Cobb County, Georgia, John Rocker may hit you in a certain way where, he doesn't with people from other parts of the country. And, John Rocker has been fantastic to work with on our end. And, we work with a lot of different athletes, and a lot of people would be surprised where he gets booked again and again and again. And another one like that is Jack Edwards, who is the Bruins broadcaster, who is one of my favorite homers on the planet in terms of his broadcasting style, and was great during the 2002 World Cup with the same thing. But because people gravitate to him, he gets booked a lot. And that's part of looking at what we do in a hyper-local perspective. And I think that will be a big focus going forward, is trying to figure out why certain people connect in certain markets and really do a lot around them.
Wow, I could have guessed all day. Never would have thought John Rocker would be a fairly popular search on Thuzio. Very interesting stuff.
And it's not as much search as much he gets booked, because there's a demographic that he speaks to really well. And when you're trying to build around getting a massive talent pool of potentially 10,000 plus, you're going to hit everyone's point in some place or another. For someone it will be Nick Foles. For someone it'll be John Rocker. For someone it will be, it could be Barry Bonds. For someone, it could be Tim Tebow. It's really across the board with, different people have different favorite athletes.
Very good point. Very, very good point. All right, number three for you, Jake. The most memorable athlete experience that Thuzio has facilitated is what?
I like the Gabby Douglas one, but my favorite is when there was a company who booked an experience, and they had use of MetLife Stadium because they were, I believe, a pre-existing sponsor of one of the teams there. So they decided to book a whole bunch of Giants and Jets legends, have their staff come out and play flag football on the field of MetLife Stadium at 8 o'clock at night with the lights on. I mean, it was just such a cool experience for those guys, being able to be on a field with NFL players and guys that they grew up watching. And yeah, you had a few amateur athletes who could chuck the ball a little bit and had fun picking off one of Tiki Barber's passes. And that becomes a life highlight for someone. I picked off Tiki Barber on the football field. That was the one that stood out, because everyone there just had so much fun, and it was such a relaxed, easy atmosphere. And yet, you soak it all in. You pinch yourself. You're on the field at MetLife Stadium, and the Super Bowl is going to be there in a couple months.
That's unreal. How cool to think that you could be out at MetLife Stadium playing flag football with guys you looked up to growing up. That's incredible. How much fun is
Yep.
that? All right, number four.
Blast.
The best way to target sports fans is blank.
You've got to be genuine. I mean, sports fans see past the BS. And when it comes to their favorite teams, they can see past the BS, whether it be the coaches, the teams. They could see past the cliches because they've memorized them all already. The best way to market to a sports fan is to be a fan yourself and to come at them with that approach. And I th that's been the way, that was the way I looked at it in Detroit. That was the way I looked at it, here. Nothing's changed. You've got to be a fan, and you've got to be passionate about the game. And understand, people are going to have different levels of fandom or different experiences to them. But the worst thing you could do is come across as not being genuine or credible.
Oh, so very true, and even more so with social media. When you're speaking directly to fans, is to cut out the BS, like you said, and talk to them like they're a fellow human.
I think you're seeing it more and more, and I think the very best athletes, the ones who I would covet to work with in the social space, and really in the media space in general, do that. You can see that they're real people. You can see that it's not an act, and I think those that do it, we have a difficult time because we work with a lot of retired athletes, and it may not be the best social demographic, but you'll see athletes going forward, you know, and you're starting to see it with the NBA and the NHL right now. I mean, they live off their cell phones. So it becomes very easy for them to, you know, record those moments and for them to tweet. And it's a generational thing.
Oh, very much so. And all right, number five for you, Jake. Something I was discussing with you a little bit earlier that I am very impressed with the way that Thuzio markets itself through digital ads and very integrated, very cross-channel, very much targeting interests and effective with landing pages, conversions. So I want to ask you, Jake. The most effective digital paid ads are on what network?
Well, we don't apply to it, as I shot you over in our pre-event. I think the most effective medium in terms of finding talent for your brand going forward could be on Vine. I see young people who in 6 seconds, I can say, you're affable on camera, you're genuine. If I give you a can of Coca-Cola, you can sell it to an audience. So I think, you know, going forward, you know, you may be looking less and less at the impersonal or the, like, what's the right word there? Not so personal targeting of ads or the hyper personal targeting of ads based on web searches. And you may just be going to Vine and putting your product in the hands of very genuine people. You know, I think there's a lot of potential there going forward. I wasn't a big fan when Vine launched. I thought that 6 seconds was too short from a making money from a brand standpoint. I still think it is. But I think finding your next spokesperson on Vine is going to be an extremely appealing play. And I think Gary Vaynerchuk over at VaynerMedia is already doing that.
Ah, very interesting. And taking a whole different perspective on how to reach a potential customer is not looking at what is influencing that first search or whatever is causing them to search for a product, is finding what they're interested in already, finding an influencer they like to listen to, and going at it from that direction. Interesting perspective.
And I think on Vine, there are a lot of people there who you wouldn't think. You know, there's a 20-year-old freshman at Georgia named Chloe Emanuel who has 60,000 Vine followers. And she just sits there and she rants and she raves like any other person her age, but she's willing to put herself on camera, she's willing to be affable in doing it, and she comes across as very genuine. So you want to put your product in her hands, because if she says something, you're going to believe it. And I think that's a lot of the potential we have here in Thuzio going forward, especially on the brand ambassador side, is when we're examining great social opportunities for our clients. And I think we're going to see it a lot going forward in 2014, 2015. People are going to start looking at that mass number and say, I have to get to 1 million impressions versus X, Y, and Z athletes are best for my product over the next 3 months in the social space. They're going to be genuine talking. They're going to genuinely talk about it. They're going to genuinely care about it. And their followers, as a result, will genuinely care about it. So we may be going less away from ROI and just raw impressions and going into more of a brand ambassadorship approach.
What a fantastic insight. Really interesting stuff there. Really good statement to think about who is really representing your brand the best as opposed to reaching the most eyes. All right, number six, moving right along with Jake here, having some fun. This is a good one, especially for someone associated with Thuzio. The athlete out there doing the best job building their personal brand on social media is who?
We don't have her, Michaela Maroney. I think a lot of people don't realize Michaela won a gold and a silver, while Allie Raisman won 2 golds, Gabby Douglas won 2 golds. But if you go and you look at the way Michaela Maroney operates on social media, it is just like watching a Disney Channel show. It's her. It's her older brother, Cav. It's her younger sister, Taryn. You get to know them. You get to kind of live through them a little bit. It's very much like watching Lizzie McGuire or Hannah Montana, and you realize she has such a stronghold over that audience. It is so impressive to watch her. And really, if you want to find out what trends are happening in that space, Michaela is the one you want to follow. And I wrote about it a while ago, probably 9 months ago, in suggesting that Instagram is more powerful than Facebook by looking at the way the Fierce Five use it. And the same thing with, you know, with Michaela. Michaela is on Keek. Well, who else is on Keek? Well, it's just Michaela and the Kardashians and the Jenner twins, and yet there's a mass audience there that can be activated. So if you want to see the way things are done or you want to see the way things are going, Michaela Maroney is a really great target. Just comes across as really genuine while at the same time coming across as wholesome and very Disney-esque.
I completely agree there with Michaela. She does a great job both promoting her personal brand as well as stuff she believes in and other products as well. And, I mean, heck, when you have President Obama himself, you know, replicating the I'm not impressed meme, you know you got something there. So Michaela's doing a hell of a job having fun and building a personal brand.
And she really handled that situation very well in terms of flipping that whole thing and that whole saga around and capitalizing on it. And that's tough for someone who was 16 at the time. But, you know, I saw she had a lot of potential even before she made the Olympic team just because of her personality. And she does have that personality where she is a star. And I saw it at the Visa Championships in Hartford. She is the star of the show now. And she's really, I think, the biggest name that they have because of the way she uses the digital platforms.
Oh, so true. All right, finishing up here with Jake Tuomi, a marketing manager at Thuzio, as well as a social media marketing professional himself with some great knowledge we've been learning so far. Just a couple more quick questions here in our jabber with Jake. Jake, what is the social network to watch in 2014?
Again, for that reason, it's going to be watching Vine and Instagram's video platforms. If you can, again, 6 seconds, 15 seconds, not a lot to work with, but commercials are 30 seconds and you have 10-second B-roll or set 10-second pre-roll. So if you're someone looking from a brand perspective and you want to find your next star, it will be on one of those two mediums. And remember, the track record is phenomenal between Jenna Marbles on YouTube, Justin Bieber on YouTube, Grayson Chance, Anna Klenningding is on Vine. I think she has 75,000 followers. All she does is covers, and they're good, and she's talented, and it's going back, and it's playing American Idol on your own, and you're going to be able to see that on Vine and Instagram.
Ah, so you heard it here. Vine or Instagram could deliver our next big pop celebrity or a big star or someone in the space very, very shortly in 2014. All right. Lastly, or almost lastly, your biggest social media pet peeve?
You know, people who are afraid to say things on social because they're afraid they're going to get slapped on the wrist. I think that's the biggest one. If you can't be yourself in social, and it's an entertainment medium more than anything, if you can't be yourself, you're not going to be yourself in real life, and they kind of have to correlate. You can't build a digital brand and not have your personal brand in real life not mesh up with it. So it's become my biggest pet peeve to see, you know, to really see the hyper PR that goes on with some personalities in the social space.
Very well stated. All right, before we let you get out of here, Jake, and you have your shout out to give, I want to hear. Let's hear a fun story from your days with the Detroit Red Wings. What's the best memory or something funny you can tell about your days working with one of the NHL's most popular clubs?
So my colleagues call me the perfect heel because I take on that wrestling mantra and that wrestling mindset. I'm not afraid to troll at all or you know do cause a storm on the internet. I think it's one of my greater talents that doesn't get utilized that often. But when NHL 13 was doing their cover campaign and Nick Lidstrom was deciding whether he was going to play next season or not, which he decided to retire, he came in and did a photo with a mocked up Pavel Datsyuk cover. And on Facebook that day, I posted the photo and I go, Nick Lidstrom is retiring. Return, 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 return. I hit return 50 times. To his mansion to play NHL 13 and vote for Datsyuk. So people who can't read saw the first part of it and just flipped out. And I mean, it was like you know, pricking your finger with blood and then watching the sharks swim around it, because the next hour, you know, our PR guys like, okay, I saw what you did. People were starting to call about it. It's not so funny anymore. And I'm like, I think it's hysterical. And then you become the butt end of all jokes. My friends kept sending me texts, you know, with that same sort of mindset where they hit return 50 times and they just make fun of me. But that was definitely one of them where it was just unforgettable because I saw my boss and our PR guy 20 minutes later, you know, circling the rims, and I'm like, I know what this is about. But again, you know, assume the worst. I hate to say it, assume that people are really, really dumb sometimes and can't press the read more button.
Hey, just, if anything, it shows the passion of the fans as well. That's an awesome story. I love it.
Well, yeah, it's funny, you know. You see three words and Lidstrom is retiring, you think the world is falling, and then you realize someone's playing a trick with you. And this was after the Kings had happened. If it was before the Kings had happened, it may not have been as well received. But, you know, middle of May, nothing else is going on. You get knocked out of the playoffs. Got some people talking.
Oh, I love it. All right, Jake, that's all we got for you. Now it's your chance to speak out. It's your chance to give your social media all-star to follow someone on Twitter or a blog or any social network. Who they are and why they're worth following.
Well, obviously, I'm going to say at Thuzio on everything. So at Thuzio, at Thuzio, at Thuzio. Social media all-star. I said Michaela Maroney. You know what? I'm a dork. I love the Andre Drummond, Jeanette McCourty romance that's kind of brewing on the social space. So follow both of them. Okay. Again, if you really want to learn what's going on in the space, think younger and not older. The best ones who are doing it are 16, 17, 18. They're well connected. They're watching. You know, they're paying attention to One Direction. They're paying attention to Justin Bieber. They're paying attention. I always used Victoria's Secret Pink and Lululemon as two beacons of great social use. So follow them and, you know, just pay attention that way.
Very interesting. And lastly, where can listeners find more about you and find you on social media, Jake?
My Twitter, my Instagram, Jake Duhame and Jake Duhame. And that's pretty much it.
Easy enough. We'll list that up in the notes. And hey, Jake, thank you so much for joining us today on the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. It sounds like Thuzio is really doing some really cool things there with not just sports fans, but athletes as well and businesses that are on the cusp of sports and really a ton of opportunity, a ton of possibility, a big future there. And it's really interesting to learn about it from you, Jake.
Hey, take care, my friends.
Great talking to Jake today. Learned a ton from him with his experience in social media across a number of industries and doing some really cool stuff there at Thuzio and really bringing to life some really unique fan experiences. But that's all we have for you on this episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. We'll be back next month. We're going to take a couple weeks off for the holidays, so hope you enjoy the holidays with your family, whether you have already celebrated Hanukkah, Christmas, there's New Year's. Obviously, the bowl games should be fun to watch and fun to keep track of with how the teams and sponsors are activating. So enjoy it all, and we'll be back with you in January in 2014 with a new year, with who knows what's ahead, but we'll stay on top of it here on the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. Visit us at dsmsports.net, and you can also follow me, your host, Neil Horwitz, on Twitter at njh287. I'm also on LinkedIn and would love to connect. All right, thanks again, everyone, and we'll see you in 2014.